You've probably done well in your 401k. Maybe if you made some crazy bets, but there's a lot of 401k plans out there that don't let you do that. They don't let you invest in individual stocks. You got to invest in ETFs, mutual funds. So if you had a 401k like mine, where even in the self-directed portion of the 401k, you only could invest in certain mutual funds, ETFs.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to another Finance Friday episode. I'm your host, Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. What is going on, everyone? Happy Friday. You know the drill. Every Friday, we hit you with the tips, tricks, and strategies to get your money working for you, because we know it's not what you make, but what you keep. Guys, I'm not going to lie. That was like my fourth try. I think I nailed it on that one, though. The life of a podcaster. I need to do like a blooper reel and share it with you guys. Probably make me laugh and cringe a little bit. Welcome back to another episode. I've got a good one for you today. Probably could already tell by the catching title there. But before I get into that, you know the rule. You know the fee. I don't make any money off this. Don't have any ads. So it's all about getting out to more people and just sharing the knowledge. And the only way to do that is to have you share the show. If you found any value, like as the review I'm about to read here, any knowledge nuggets, if you got any of that, please share with a friend, colleague, family member, acquaintance, anyone who you think could also get some knowledge or value from this show. And if you haven't, please leave a rating and review. And talking about ratings and reviews, I have one today that I want to share. 5-star rating and review from Tommy titled Knowledge Nuggets. And he says, there's some great takeaways on each show from each high quality guest he has. Keep up the great content. Well, thank you, Tommy. Really appreciate you taking time out of your day to leave that. This really helps get us in front of more ears on Apple Podcasts. So thank you. And again, if you haven't done so, everyone, please, please leave a review. All right, let's get into it. So as the title says, principal paydown is a better tool than a savings account and or your 401k. And I know we've all been conditioned, right? Work your W-2, you put money, you contribute money to your 401k, your IRA, your 403b, whatever happens to be your qualified retirement plan through your employer. Obviously, making contributions to investing is better than not doing it all. So for those of you that have done it, that's great, right? Thinking about your future, because there's a lot of people out there in this country that don't. You've heard the stats, crazy amount of, I think it's like 80% or more people in the United States don't have $400 to put towards an unexpected emergency. Like, that's just crazy. So for those of you that already are investing, that's great. But I just want to share a little strategy with you here, because recently I had a conversation with someone who, like most people, invests in a 401k. And to be fully transparent, I did at one time when I worked in finance, I invested in a 401k and my contribution level was pretty strong. I looked it up and the average is 7%. I did closer to somewhere between 15 and 20%. And then there was the employer match as well. Also, in full transparency, I don't have one anymore. I rolled it over into a solo 401k and guess what? Invested in real estate. But that's not the point of this episode. The point of the episode is why I believe principal paydown. And what do I mean by principal paydown? I mean, you buy a piece of real estate with leverage. So with a loan, some debt, and your tenants, because this is an income producing asset you're buying, your tenants are paying that debt down. They're paying your principal down. So over time, you are growing equity solely just on by paying down that debt. Someone else is paying it down for you. That's not even to talk about the appreciation that the real estate is going to get, or the cash flow you make off of it, or the tax benefits. That's simply, I'm just talking about growing equity. Someone else is growing your equity. 401k, you're putting money into an investment, right? So every year you're putting money into a mutual fund, ETF, stock, bond products, and you're making annual contributions, or probably more like every paycheck, and that's compounding over time. Whereas on the real estate, you are buying an asset using leverage to actually get more. Because let's think about that. So I looked it up, and about the average probably someone is contributing is probably around, it's not even the average. I just took this amount, 20,000, because based on if you combine both the employer and the employee contribution, based on some averages, it comes about to that amount. Now, it's probably a little higher, but I'm just going to use 20% because our 20,000, because also if you were to buy a $300,000 property, house hack it, get it for 5% down plus closing costs, plus some money to start operations, maybe make fix the property, it's about 20,000 as well. But the point of it is, if you were to take 20,000 and you are investing in a mutual fund, ETF, stock bond, whatever it happens to be, you're only able to buy $20,000 of that instrument, of that vehicle, investment vehicle, right? Whereas with real estate, that 20,000 would get you, like I just said, a $300,000 property, which then that 300,000 compounds over time with appreciation, right? That 300,000, that is the principal pay down. Whereas the 20,000 you invest in that stock, bond, mutual fund, ETF, whatever it happens to be, that's the 20,000 that's appreciating over time. Just think about that. But let's get into some more numbers. And this person asked me like why I don't continue to at least have some type of, why didn't I just roll over into a traditional solo 401k or IRA and best continue to invest in the market? And that's simple. So a duplex I bought it for, let's just call it 300 to make it easy, but it was 315,000. And I did not put more than 5% down for a few reasons. Put about 20% down plus closing costs plus some money that I needed to fix a few things. Let's just call it 80,000 that I put in there. And I just did the calculation based on appreciation and principal pay down, not even talking about the cash flow I made off it, because this thing's cash flow is like crazy. It's over like 1500 a month. It was just really good time, solid buy. Based on that, I've made 83,000. So I've more than doubled my money in 2 years. In 2 years, I doubled my money. I never doubled my money in 2 years in my 401k, never. Now, I know the last 2 years, you've probably done well in your 401k, maybe if you made some crazy bets, but there's a lot of 401k plans out there that don't let you do that. They don't let you invest in individual stocks. You got to invest in ETFs, mutual funds. So if you had a 401k like mine, where even in the self-directed portion of the 401k, you only get to invest in certain mutual funds, ETFs, there's no way you're doubling your money. The best I ever saw was close to 20% 1 year. So you're not doubling your money in 2 years. So that just got me thinking, like, well, I obviously told the individual, like, well, look what I did with this and double my money. You're not seeing that. And the principal pay down is just so strong. So let's look at a few scenarios. What if you're someone who just puts your money into a savings account, right? Let's say, so you take that 20 grand, put 20 grand every single year. Let's say 1% average annual return, which is very, very optimistic. I'm being very nice. You're probably on average not getting 1%. So for 30 years, you're talking about $722,000. At 1% for 30 years, 20K a year. And now if we were to look at a 401k here, so you put in same thing between your employer contribution, you put in 20K a year for 30 years and 7% average annual return, which is again, that's fair. They say 6 to 8, let's call it 7. And you're getting, so after 30 years of that with $20,000 contributions, total contributions of 600,000, this is for 30 years you're making these contributions too, for both the savings and the 401k. So for 20,000 a year upfront, first year 20,000, then 20,000 a year for the remaining, a 7% average annual return, you're going to walk away with $2,092,497.35. Now you may argue, yeah, Sean, but you might increase the contribution over time. Sure. If you had, let's say you would average 50K a year for those 30 years, you're talking about $5,103,652.07 if you invested an average 50K a year between employer contribution over 30 years with a 7% average annual return. That's solid. No one's sneezing at that, right? 5 mil, 100%. That would have been 1.5 million total contributions. Now, if we do the same thing for the savings and you did 50K a year at 1% average annual return, again, total contributions of 1.5 million over those 30 years, you're talking about $1,806,637.02 in a savings account at 1% average annual return over 30 years. Obviously not that terrible, right? Now let's look at real estate. Let's say for that same $20,000, instead of just putting it into 401k, you save that every year and you bought a house hack. Let's just say a house hack. For 10 years, you moved to a new house, lived in it for a year, fixed it up. And then the next year you did it again and again and again for 10 years. And the reason I said 10 is because as of now, that's the limit you can have for residential mortgages in your name, in a single name. So let's say you did that and that you were able to find, this is all hypothetical, let's say you were able to find a $300,000 house every year. Maybe the reason for that is you're doing like value add projects, or you put a little money into it, or you're just able to find a $300,000 house, right? So 5% down plus closing costs and some money you want to put in to do work, you're talking about 20K. Now you do this for 10 years, that total appreciation over you do that for 10 years and then there's an additional 20 years, right? So we're doing the same 30-year time horizon. However, you're only making 10 contributions versus the 30 in the other two scenarios. So you're only, you know, 10, that's 200K total. I looked this up. The average appreciation for a home in the US over the last couple of decades has been 4%. So let's say it continues at 4%. You're talking over 30 years for 10 houses that you bought at 300K. You're talking total appreciation of $8,865,077. So nearly $8.9 million in total appreciation. However, you're able to use leverage, right? That's how you're able to buy so much more than just the 200,000 contributions you made. So there is still some debt left, right? That first property, it's been 30 years, so it's completely paid off. Who knows, maybe you even took some of the cash flows and have paid off some of the other properties. But let's say you didn't. And you've paid off one, and there's still nine left to be paid off. So the remaining debt outstanding you have at this time period, did the calculations, look at an amortization table, and it would be $678,467.83. So $678,000 you have left in debt. You take that away from the $8.865 million, you have total equity. Wait for it. Now remember, your total equity for your 401k, if you put 20 a year for 30 years. Now you made 30 years of contributions in this scenario at 7% average annual return was $2,092,000. Now for the savings account, it was $722,000. Again, if you did 50K a year averaged in contributions to these two, for savings, it would be $1.8 million. And for the 401k, it would be $5.1 million. So looking at those scenarios. Now, if you'd only made 20K in contributions per year for only 10 years, not the entire 30, your total equity at the end of 30 years would be nearly $8.2 million. 8.186 to be exact. And that's not even taking into account cash flows. Now, you could have anywhere, depending on how much you were cash flowing, anywhere from 200 to 400,000 that you would have made in cash flows over 30 years on those 10 properties, maybe even more. Because as you start to pay these properties down, like that one property, now you're making straight cash flow in another 10 years. So if you started doing this at 30 years later, you're 60, say 10 years, and now you're 70, the remaining are all paid off and they're all just cash flowing like crazy. Yeah, you're still putting stuff away for reserves to fix stuff up, but there's no mortgage payments anymore. You could even take a line of equity off of that, the $8+ million you have in equity, maybe to go buy more properties. Maybe it's just to go on an awesome vacation with your entire family. And then that cash flow can pay that line of credit back. There's just so much you can do with that. You know, with your 401k, you only can take the 50K loan off of it. You know, line of credit, you could take 100K out and do some cool stuff with it and easily pay that back with the cash flow that thing would be spinning off. So it's about the principal pay down, that equity. So there's a combination of that appreciating over time, 4% per year, and paying down the debt, which your residents pay down. They pay down that debt. So that principal pay down combined with the appreciation made you nearly worth eight figures. Let's not get ahead of ourselves here. Eight figures, nearly worth $10 million. You know, another 10 years, it probably could be combined with the cash flow and everything. And we're not even talking about, we're not even talking about the tax benefits. Yeah, the other two are 401ks in a qualified plan, so you're not paying tax. But if it's traditional, which most likely it's not all Roth, you're going to be paying some tax once you make some distributions. If you do it right in real estate, you're not going to pay any tax. You're going to do the step-up basis when you pass it on to your beneficiaries. This is why it's so powerful, because you're able to use leverage, one in a meaningful way, but also in a smart way, to buy more than you can. And then your residents are paying that leverage, paying that debt down, which is thereby creating more equity for you. And on top of the fact that real estate has appreciated on average 4% per year, you're lucky. You get moments like we just had over the last 2 years, you might see a 10, 20% bump, not more, in a year. But just even on average, 4%, you're still coming out way ahead. Based on $20,000 a year contribution for 10 years versus a $50,000 contribution a year for 30 years, you're still $3 million ahead, not even including the cash flows and the tax benefits. To me, it's a no-brainer. Principal pay down is a way better plan than a savings or 401k. To me, it's the ultimate retirement strategy. Because then once you pay all that debt off and you retire, you don't have to worry about paying debt. You have all that equity and it's just cash flowing. So now you don't have debt over your head. You have equity that you can take lines of credit off to do cool things with, and you have a cash flow to pay those line of credits back. And when you take the line of credit out, it's not taxable, but it's essentially like income. You take 200K out, that's income to you, but you're not taxed. And the cash flow of those 10 properties, more going to pay that back. It's going to pay it back, and then you're still going to be making more. This is the next level stuff that you got to be thinking about. This is what gets you to the point where you can live the life of your dreams, do the things you want to do with the people you want to do it with, whenever you want. Be able to give back to the institutions and to the people, the charities, the organizations that mean a lot to you. It gives you that time to do things that you want to do. It gives you the time to make this world a better place. All right, everyone. I know this was a lot of numbers to just be thrown around via listening and not actually seeing, but I hope you're taking some notes down. I hope you got the point that, you know, we've been conditioned to invest a certain way for retirement. You got to ask yourself why. Is it because it's the best, or is it because the best for someone else who's making all the money off of you investing that way? You just got to think. To me, this is the best way to do it. And it's the way I'm going to continue to do. All right, everybody. Hope you like this one. As always, easy doesn't pay well, and instant gratification is self-destructive. So get out there, not only work hard for your money, but have your money work hard for you so you can create the life of your dreams. Be able to do what you want, with who you want, when you want. We can all make this world a better place. All right, everybody, I'll catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's a little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is an investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and, of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.